This is a production of Cornell University.
Let me go ahead and actually call the meeting to order. Hey, are you with us? Oh, yeah, you are. You want to go ahead and take roll just off of the participant list, can I get a motion to approve the minutes from last meeting?
Actually, Adam, there are no minutes because I haven't submitted them yet. So no minutes to approve at this
time.
We'll
postpone the approval of the minutes until next meeting.
I move we approve them when they come out.
All right.
I'm meeting now.
Okay, so let me just add something to the agenda right now, which is meeting security or something. It's not great because there are likely a lot of people who are not members trying to get in and watch our meeting right now, which was just, for those of you who tuned in, Zoom bombed. So we have to come up with some sort of a solution. Gina, Wendy, I don't know if whether that's there may not have been, their open meetings, there may not have been a call for it in the past to vet people or use just a private listserv, but we can't conduct a meeting if that happens every time, which now that people are aware of where the public listening is, I assume would. So I'm open to discussion. The only one I can think of is that we don't post the link publicly anymore, but rather send it out via an email listserv. And
so, first of all, thank you, Gina, and thank you, Wendy, for quick thinking and getting us another place. The way that we do the forums, where only certain people can get on there, and it's covered, I guess that might be a possibility where you can have guests. And then you can acknowledge hand raising by the EA like we did that last time, but
set them up as webinars.
Yeah, that might be a possibility. I don't know what everyone else thinks, but that might be a possibility. That way you don't get Zoom.
I want to hear from. Let me hear Gina. Go ahead. What are you? What's your?
I think that this is the first time in my experience this has happened. And rather than take up your time here today, I'd like to explore with some of our CIT folks and the. And the folks who would actually deal with this on a regular basis, trying to protect us all from this, what their best practices are, and then come back to you with some suggestions, if that's acceptable to you all.
Yep, let's do that. One thing I do want to add, can we put something up on the website now just to, I don't know, can we let people know? There might be a lot of people trying to get into the meeting that was posted through the public link and they can't. Can we just mention something? That we had technical difficulties. I don't know how you want to word it, but we'll make an effort to make sure that the public can view our meetings in the future after we work out some technical things.
I think that, and we can also direct them to the OA and in real time, if folks chime in with a net ID, which we can, sort of track back if anybody does engage in bad behavior, we can let them in or Wendy can moderate that.
Okay, great.
Okay. Yep, we'll do that. Thank you. Sorry about that.
No, it's nobody's fault. I apologize to everybody. It's ridiculous what people with an enormous amount of time in their hands decide to do with that time. So, I apologize, but we're all here, or most of us are here. Let's, try to conduct our business today. So with that, I'd like to go into EAR 1, as a reminder to everybody, we're in the new term now, which is why it's Resolution 1. I don't really have too many comments other than to say thank you to the Benefits and Policy Committee, Rob, Jamie, Carrie. You all did amazing work in an incredibly quick amount of time. I've sent that resolution on to President Pollack and sent a version to Mary Opperman, and as soon as I hear anything back, I'll let you all know. But does anybody have any points of discussion on Resolution 1 today? Jamie, I saw you had your hand up earlier, by the way. Did that have to do with the Zoom bombing or for okay. Just wanted to check. Don't want to leave anybody out. Carrie?
Just wondering if anybody had any information I guess related to to the resolution about what happened on Friday, whether there was a vote on the financial stuff or.
I haven't heard any. I have no information on my end, but if anybody else does, I assume I would have gotten something maybe, but I haven't heard anything.
I had I don't know about the vote or anything, but I had heard that the salary, that the proposal went through. Did anyone else?
I would assume, I mean, everybody has been making pretty big efforts to be transparent and forthcoming to us about these things. I would assume we would have gotten a heads up. I haven't heard anything, but I, you know, nothing's 100% given, but I know that I haven't heard anything.
Okay. Yeah, I did hear from some faculty and directors that it went through salary decrease, and I don't know exactly what the retirement decrease went, but as a staff, we were concerned about our, you know, the salary decrease, and I had heard it was like 1.5% for most state employees, and the faculty were given a higher percentage, but I don't know all the details, and that's just a rumor, I guess.
What I can do is I can reach out to Mary Opperman and see if she has any information that she can give to me that I can relay to all of you. I hope that faculty weren't informed of the decisions or were not informed of the decisions, and we weren't. I hope that they weren't given information that we weren't given, if that makes any sense.
Is this something that we can talk to Mary Opperman about tomorrow in the forum, or is that?
The forums on those, that's one of the topical forums. It's on reopening. It's, you know, we've gotten pre-submitted questions already. So I doubt that we will get a chance on that one. The open forum, the next open forum is the following week though. So that one, I assume that, especially since more information is coming out on reopening, and not only is more information coming out on reopening, but more information is coming out about the type of fall that we're going to have, which relates to the cost saving measures. My guess is that there will be opportunities to ask, I mean, directly about those things since they tie together. I will see if there's decisions that have been made, I'll see if I can find them out though, before then, because if there's information to get out, I'd like to get it out. Let's see. Anyone else on Resolution 1 or anything associated with that? Just once again, thank you for the great work, Brian, everybody who worked on it. I really appreciate it. It was a lot of effort to get something like that pushed through in so quick a time. So thank you. Unless anybody else has anything on that subject, I would like to move on to the forum schedule. You all should have seen the feedback forum schedule by now, but I'll put a link in the chat just for good measure. Let's see, everybody in the meeting.
So real quick, I think that a lot of thank yous should go out for putting that together, but there are some people that weren't on our committee that attended our committee meeting, Carrie and Hey and other people, right, that I really appreciate. And special hats off to Robert and Jamie. They actually initiated from the previous meeting what Josh had to say and asking if we were going to do something, and they felt that we better get started because we kind of felt something was going to happen. So we got our foot in the door before it even was recommended. The whole BPC committee contributed and they did a wonderful job. And that last meeting, I wasn't even going to do minutes because it was a working meeting mainly on the resolution. So my hat's off to the BPC committee and everybody has participated. Thank you very much.
Yep, absolutely. Very great job done by all. So the open forums, the schedule's out. Our first one was well attended, over 300 people for a 30-minute topical forum, which was great. Thank you for your patience and flexibility, especially in promoting these as they have come out very quickly with a quick turnaround time. It's as you can imagine, difficult to coordinate that many schedules and get things in line, but I think we're set. A reminder would be that things can still possibly change depending on something new happening or whatnot. Our next one's tomorrow. It's on campus reopening. We've gotten, I think, Wendy, what was it, over 60 pre-submitted questions, which is great. I'm sorry?
Adam, the final tally, there was 70 questions awesome. That were submitted.
So there's a lot of people engaged. We with that many questions and with a better lead time, we might be lucky and expect many more people than we got at our last forum. Again, you all have this schedule, but I would ask you to promote them to whoever you can, but does anybody have any questions, comments, feedback on the feedback forums? We want to make whatever adjustments or make them as good as we possibly can. And we will be having, again, the open forums as well. The first one of the first new one being next week, but any questions, comments, concerns, Carrie?
Just a logistical question. When do you close the question feedback form in advance? Like, do you leave it open right up until the event, or just wondering for promotion sake?
Wendy, what was the time again we set? I can't remember off the top of my head.
We're typically closing the feedbacks a day and a half prior to, a day and a half. So like for the forum tomorrow, the feedback has already closed at noon today.
That's right.
And is there one open? I'm sorry. Maybe I should be just clicking on this. Is there one open already for the July 9th? The open?
Not yet. That one will be like, I'll open this afternoon.
Okay.
And have it open, because then once we send out, because those emails are coming out from our office with, you know, here's the next forum and here's, you know, the Zoom link and all that kind of stuff. So once those are open, then we're opening the survey so they can go in. Gina's raising her hand too.
Okay.
Hey, Gina.
Actually, for next week's forum, it's an open forum, not one of the topical forums. So we'll use the format we did before with an open comment page on the website. So it won't be a Qualtrics. It'll just be, because it's an open forum without any questions being asked, it's just whatever, just the same way that we've done in the past. So that'll be updated either later today or first thing in the morning.
I will say that things have moved really fast and we're getting into kind of like a groove. I do really, and I enjoyed it at our first topical forum, the notion of being able to pick out questions, contact those staff members, invite them as panelists, and then they ask the questions live. It's another tether of contact that I think actually, you know, they see, hey, myself, Mary, all the same people throughout the forum. So having new people makes it seem even more personal and more connected. And I really love that. I think as we go on, it's going to have a good impact.
Is there a reason why, I mean, I guess I'm just trying to understand, even though it's an open forum next week, so there's no set topic, is there a reason why we wouldn't collect questions in advance the same way? I don't know.
Well, there's no reason for Qualtrics. Qualtrics was, there's questions being asked, and that way we can manage those in a really effective way, given the quick turnaround. We found it was also very effective to have the open comment with the ability to post anonymous comments for the open forums. So from our website, that seems to have worked well in the past, and we're sort of going with a quick flow. So that was the reason for that.
Jenny? Okay. I think you're on mute, Jenny.
I thought you were going to do that.
There we go.
So I had tried to get into the forum, and I might not have left myself enough time. I couldn't get in, and I don't think we can rebuild what happened. I'll just make sure I'm earlier next time. But I'm also building a database of retirees and former employees. So So great. I invite you to send me names of people you know who have retired, you know, I'd say anytime in the past, and especially over the last few years, so that we can start including them and maybe getting more feedback from this area.
Great.
Okay.
That's a great idea. It'd be nice to have more touch points that we can communicate with that group.
Jenny, when you say you couldn't get into the last one, what do you mean exactly?
I had the link, and I used the link just like I do any other Zoom meeting, and it just went dead.
Really?
Yeah, it just didn't follow the normal path, so I'm not sure. And I, like I said, it's, and then the email disappeared. I had saved the email to make it real quick and easy to pull up and get into the, by using the link, but I don't know what happened.
Gina or Wendy, we didn't hit the overflow space yet on that webinar, did we? So, that may just be okay. A fluke. I don't know.
So it's okay. I just thought I'd mention it, but
if it happens again earlier,
so I have a little more time to mess around with it.
If it happens again, please let us know. We'll do whatever we can to troubleshoot. I don't want anybody to be left out if they're trying to join.
It is a webinar, which shouldn't look different to you, but the back end, it may feel a little different. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but these are what we call meetings.
Yeah.
But all of the forums are considered webinars. So there's just a different interface, but the link should be the same. I mean,
And it's not, you don't do it. You don't enter or join differently.
No.
Basically. Yeah. That's what I thought. That's all right. I'll be at the next one.
Great. So the recording's already posted. Thank you, Wendy. They're topical. They're 30 minutes. Obviously people have a lot to say, that doesn't get in that space of time, but we're trying to keep a collection of the questions. I think we're trying on some of the questions are more conversation starters, but I think we're trying to get answers on the ones that, you know, like there was a book citation that I think it was Avery that talked about it, the last one, and somebody was like, "Right, how do I find this book?" So we're trying to get the information out to people, again, without making too many long forms that could result in fatigue or anything like that. So encourage people, if they miss them, to check out the recordings, and encourage them to join the future ones if they miss out on something this time around. But does anybody, Ellen, I see your hand, go ahead.
I just wanted to confirm that all of the webinars are 30 minutes with exception of the ones that are specifically listed as open.
Correct. Again, you know, things could always change. You know, if some opportunity presents itself, if we get some massive amount of pre-interest, we may try to make adjustments. But the topical forums should be 30 minutes. The open forums are an hour. And the format should remain the same for the topical forums. So a Qualtrics survey goes out. We solicit pre-questions. We kind of vet them, pick some ones that we want to ask, reach out to those staff members to ask them live. And if we have more time for other questions, hey, picks them out and ask them. That's kind of the format we're deciding to go with. Any other questions, comments, feedback, concerns? I don't think I did this last time, but I'm not going to go ahead and like call on every committee chair or anything like that. If any committee chair does have an update or a report that they would like to give, again, we're in the summer, no one is required to meet or anything. You're welcome to use this time now. If not, we can move on to open discussion. So any committee chair? Jessica, I see your hand. You're muted though.
Sorry. I was looking for the...
No worries.
To give you a thing. So the election committee, I have set up a meeting I'm on vacation next week, so it's actually after our next EA meeting. But I figure with the, now that we know what the fall semester looks like, we can set up the fall, the employee assembly elections. So we will get working on that. And the membership task force is wrapping stuff up, and we should have something for you at the next EA meeting, but I'll tell you, by moving that up 2 days with my vacation, I'm not sure what we're going to have for you, but we'll have something since that's our due date. Okay.
Awesome. Thank you. Does anybody have any questions for Jessica? Hey.
Oh, I didn't have any questions. I was going to give a committee update.
Let me, I promised Brian he'd be next, and then, and then you after that. Go ahead, Brian.
So I didn't get to give a committee update the meeting before. And so now I got a couple quick ones. We had a meeting, the BPC had a meeting on 6/16/20. It took me a while to write up the notes, but I just sent them out. We had a guest speaker, Amy Parmley and Seth Brawler from GIGS. And they gave a really good speech to us about that process and how that's moving along and how they're dealing with COVID. And if you want to look at the minutes, I posted them in the box. But that was a good meeting. We also discussed the bereavement policy discussion. Hats off. I kind of gave a thank you to all that contributed to that and getting that one thing noticed and approved where surrogates are recognized. We discussed a little bit about Red Cross blood donations, and we're looking at the policy for that. And then, we, of course, we discussed, as I said, the EAR1, which was before it was EAR1. We discussed that a little bit, and I think that got the, our feet running on that. At our last meeting, it was a working meeting for EAR1, and we nailed that and got that out. And that's about what happens with the BPC. I haven't scheduled a meeting for the next time, but I'm sure there'll be one coming.
Great. Thanks, Brian. Any questions for Brian? Seeing none. Hey, go ahead.
Thanks. I just wanted to let you all have just a quick update on the feedback that we've received on the EA meeting that's going to be tomorrow. So the questions that we had asked through the Qualtrics link was what are the concerns, and then what is working well, you know, as we talk about reactivating campus. And just a quick summary, it seems like there are a lot of people that are concerned about, you know, the increase of people coming from different regions, especially regions that are, you know, have a higher than 10% infection rate. People are concerned about, you know, how do you keep everybody compliant and on the same page in terms of safety measures, in terms of face masks, in terms of, you know, the 6 feet apart. We've received, you know, concerns about the type of, you know, COVID hours were going to be expected and how we're going to implement different measures. So a lot of concerns from individuals, especially those who have children and how childcare is going to work in this area. And then people have talked about things that have been going well. So I think remote work has worked for a lot of people. A lot of meetings through Zoom have been helpful to increase engagement. People have talked about the email communications being very good. And also there's been some discussion about these forums being very helpful. So I think I just wanted to thank the Office of the Assemblies for helping out with that and for everybody on the EA for getting the word out. I think the engagement levels have been really, really great, and I'm really happy to see that. And I'm really happy to switch to this new format where we have different staff members being able to present to senior leadership, you know, their comments and concerns. I think that it's a really good opportunity to have that level of engagement. And I think that the employee assembly is really about like creating those channels of communication. So I'm really happy about it. So just wanted to give you guys a quick update on the feedback that we've received. We've received, I think, 69 responses through Qualtrics. If you have any questions about it, you wanna see or hear about more information about it, feel free to let me know. And that is the update on the Qualtrics feedback.
Great, thank you. Hey, anybody have any questions? Jenny, go ahead.
So a couple of questions have come up, and I missed that survey. I was reading the whole 70-page or whatever document, and as far as employees feeling coerced and forced to be on campus if they don't feel they should, you know, some getting preferential treatment over others, all that. There's a kind of always that element of rumble going on. And someone did bring it up to me. And if that is the case, then the prescribed path to take is the immediate supervisor, the department manager, college HR, EHS. Those avenues in this kind of case are probably not going to work. So somebody already pointed that out to me as, you know, kind of anticipating. We don't know that it's happening. I don't have any feedback of that, but I wanted to throw it out there early. So if it does start happening, then I don't know, they can come to us. I don't know how this works yet. And another thing is people right now who come maybe once a week to check mail for a department, and there's no parking, you know, restrictions right now on campus. So the person's been paying, you know, 4 months of parking for nothing, but doesn't really want to give up their spot. And if they stay remote, but are still required, and parking restrictions go back into place, they can't give it up, and they can't. So I don't, did I just make that really confusing, or do you understand what I'm saying? There's still parking issues. Somebody's paying now, not using it, but no tickets are being issued. In the future, there will be tickets issued, so they can't really give it up. So they're paying and not using the parking, but they have to be on campus at least once a week. So they do need parking.
Okay. On the first question, on the first comment, I know that, one nuance about the EA is especially if it's an individual who has some sort of supervisory dispute, we're not allowed to act in the place of a like an HR rep or anything like that. We can't hear or take action on individual HR type complaints. If somebody had that as like a broader, I've heard this. I mean, you know, there's the avenues right now or the forums and the things like that, they can submit those as questions and such. But I think you outlined the process of, you know, who to take these questions, complaints to. There's also the ombudsman's office. So those are a few nuances of our role in terms of individual HR complaints. As far as the, and anybody else can jump in here, feel
free. Before we move on, I'll just relate it factually through like harassment issues. Those avenues do not work. HR works for the company, not the individual. I'm not trying to diss the whole system.
Well, I guess.
But it's there. It's implicit in any organization. I mean, this isn't, you know, peculiar to Cornell. This is worldwide. So, okay.
I can tell you that if there is something systemic and there are factual things to go along with a systemic issue in that regard, sorry, I see people's hands going up. I'll recognize folks after this. We can make statements in the form of resolutions. We cannot advocate on an individual level for an individual's human resources or personnel type complaint. That's actually against the law. Mary does a good job of pointing that out every year whenever she comes to our retreats and things like that. We can't act as an employee-sponsored union, I think is what it's essentially known as. That would be violating the law. But systemic things, things that regard policy on a very broad level, we can make statements on, and we can ask for responses from the president in terms of in the form of resolutions. But that's kind of the limitations that we have in our role. But I don't want to take up too much time when people are asking me to recognize Chris and then Marcy. I apologize. I didn't see whose hand went up first. I'll just go with
me. I was first.
Go ahead, Chris.
So parking, Bridget and Reed in the transportation department wants to come find time at the EA to give you all, us all, a parking update on the plan for now. I got a sort of a sneak preview on it because of all the transportation stuff that is going on. So for the executive committee, find time on a calendar for that topic of parking is a thing. The one challenge I will tell you is that they have no idea about who is coming back and who is not to campus whatsoever. So like where CIT has told all of its staff to work from home, you know, for the foreseeable future forever, that kind of information is not aggregated across all the university. So I was going to ask that all of us, just for what we know, what's in our department or our college or our area, if we could fill out some kind of email or document that collects that information from what we know so far, because they don't know if it's going to be, you know, half of the staff is coming back. They have no idea. And I was surprised, because you would think that that sort of information would be collected at some level of like, what is each college's plan, at least for their staff? So the same way that essential workers were not defined clearly across all different colleges and all different job families, same problem with parking. So those are two things about it. But I did see the preview of the plan, and they have ideas in there about having daily permits as a thing now, and trying to do contactless onboarding and re-onboarding the parking, because everybody's, you know, sort of parking plans for their previous Cornell life has changed. So using Park Mobile a lot more, trying to be more flexible, changing how information booths work, changing how loading zones work. I even brought up to them that the IT departments had created a page that listed, while there was no parking charges, how you could go and pull up onto campus and find a spot for Wi-Fi to update your computer or do different things. And that was something also where they had no coordination. So I guess the message is, whatever kind of coordination that we can do in advance of it, now that we sort of know that September 2nd is going to be our new date, if we can collect that information as the EA, that would really, really help them out, because they don't really know what to expect. And TCAT is still trying to figure out what they're doing as well. So that is a mini update. And if anybody had any specific questions, I can try to answer, but it would be better if they did it, because they really just have a plan for now, an idea of making changes, making things more flexible, you know, and being in and out. But, you know, some things are like expanding EHOB parking at, you know, up there, East El Plaza. And that also I put together with them. I was like, you know, if you're an employee and now you don't need to park Central Campus, because you're going to make a decision about, I want to park at EHOB and it costs me, you know, $1 instead of 10. I just made that up. But that kind of an example, you sort of still need to know as an employee, when is the bus coming? And if that information doesn't go together, it's going to be hard for people to make an informed parking decision with the new way that campus is going to operate.
Thank you, Chris. So I would suggest if anybody wants to take on the role, that would need coordination to be a hub of collecting that information, I would suggest that perhaps anybody who wants to take on that task or that project, maybe also coordinate through Carrie's committee I see your face, Carrie. If we're going to outwardly ask all units to send us their information and be a hub, is that what you're asking for, Chris? For us to be a hub of information for everybody's transportation? I guess I maybe don't understand what you're saying. You're wanting us to do.
I don't mean in an official capacity. So like I'll put up a box document, and if you know something about parking that you know, any kind of sharing about if your unit is coming back, if you're expecting your staff has been told, don't, just kind of even collecting that in pencil, so that when we can say, hey, here's a list of the EA reps and what they know, and then those parking and transportation officials can then go to the college contacts and say, this is what we've heard, can you confirm, and then move it there. Okay. I'm not saying that we have to manage it or anything. It's just, we all know a little bit, and let's get that into a form.
If you informally want to help out and drop some information, Chris will put up a file in the box and you can go there and do that. Let me get to, all right, Carrie, real briefly, and then I want to get to Mark.
Just on the subject of data, the university definitely has data on who is at least approved to come back to work and not. I mean, because if you've been asked to fill out that daily check yet, Or if you've gone to it and you weren't even asked to, you would see it knows whether you are supposed to be doing it or not. So I don't know if that's just a starting point or whatever, but I feel like probably transportation needs to just make those data requests and try to line up their own systems accordingly.
It does seem strange that they wouldn't be able to procure that information. Marcy, you had your hand up a little bit ago. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Yes, my computer just chose that moment to reboot itself.
Oh no.
So yeah, I was listening to Chris also and talk about everything. And I just wanted to let everyone, I've been on campus since May 18th. I was working home from March and April. And I think until May 17th, actually. And then, so I think that college is piloting a program where you have to check in every day if you're going to come to campus. So you get an email every day, Monday through Friday, and it asks you like three questions, you know, have you been in contact with anyone who has the virus? And, you know, questions like that. And if you answer yes and a no to all those, then it seems to be the green light, you can come in. If not, then you have to do a telehealth medicine, telemedicine, you know, call with someone from, you know, Cornell Health. I'm pretty sure if you don't let someone know that you're coming to campus, I think you have to let someone know that you are coming to campus to keep exposure down and stuff. Then there was something else. Maybe that was it. but yeah, so that was just, you know, if you are coming to campus, like you need to know. You can't just, you know, come to campus. And I guess I found out that the vet college is, anyone who works at the vet college in the hospital is essential. So lesson learned, there you go.
Thank you, essential workers.
Yes.
So we're essentially into open discussion time, unless I skipped over any committee chair.
Kit just had her hand up.
I'm sorry?
Kit Tannenbaum has had her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. My participant bar was scrolled down, so I wasn't seeing all of you who had your hands up. Kit, go ahead, and then Brian. Sorry about that.
So thanks for getting this together with everything going on. My question was, I wanted to be mindful of people's time. If I could get a quick recap of any updates about R1 or the trustees meeting. I think I hopped on. I was able to hop on right at when you guys were moving on from that. I'm happy to go back and watch the video recap, but at the very end, if someone could debrief me for a minute, I would appreciate it.
I can on EAR1, I can do that very quickly. It was submitted to the president, and a copy was sent to Vice President Mary Opperman. We have not heard a response. Typically, the responses on any resolution aren't immediate. Several weeks oftentimes go by before I hear anything back. So other than that, I am going to check personally with Mary to see if there are any updates on implementation of cost-saving measures. And failing all that, I'm sure that there will be questions on those specifically at next week's open forum as well. But that's basically the status, is that we don't have any information confirmed as of yet in terms of a response or cost-saving implementation right now.
Okay, thank you for sharing.
Yep, no problem.
So, hi. In response to Marcy, that's campus-wide, the check-in process. Can people hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I wasn't sure. So that's campus-wide, the daily check-in. That does go out to everybody that's planning on working on campus during that day. They can actually, in some cases, fill out the night before, depending on their technological advance. We have some people that don't have computers or phones or stuff, so they do it the day before on a computer. But if it does red flag you after you answer those questions, then you will be getting a call from CUGA Health, I believe, which is working with Cornell Health. And they will ask you a couple of questions and find out more about it. They're still trying to work out the bugs. We've had constant communication with them. They're trying to work out the bugs. It doesn't work with Explorer. It works with Google Chrome. So that was one of the bugs that they had with it. They've had other bugs with it where, like, we've had some workers are beauticians. And one of the questions asked is if they had a COVID test in the last 14 days. Well, they have one every 2 weeks. Does that mean they can't come to work? So they're working out those bugs and trying to clarify some of the questions. And they've been working hard on that. So that is going out to everybody. I imagine that they know who. So as it was discussed earlier, they have to have permission from the above in order to come on campus to be approved to work on campus. So I imagine they have a listing from each department who's allowed on campus and who's not. So they might be able to get that information faster at transportation than we would be able to anyway. So that's, I just wanted to chime in on that.
Thanks, Brian. Marcy, or is your hand still up from last time?
No, I remembered what I wanted to say.
Go ahead.
I was wanted to respond to Janine's comments about feeling safe at work. And we did have a lot of people who work within the clinics who did feel unsafe, especially when so much wasn't known about the virus in the beginning. And they wanted they were able to take some time to just get themselves, their head wrapped around that they have to come in. That's their job. But everything was done that could possibly be done. We always have to wear masks. Unless we're alone in our office. But it was pretty much just talked about, that's your job. And, if this is what you want to do, then you have to come to work. And if you didn't feel safe, then there really wasn't anything else they could do, other than just go through all the safety measures and do what they can to make everyone feel safe and secure and, not take any precautions that they didn't feel comfortable making.
Thanks, Marcy. All right, anyone else on any topic? We're into open discussion, so. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, just wondering if we could talk for a minute about a couple of the recent resolutions. One, I was wondering if there had been any response. I wasn't sure if they get forwarded to everybody, but on the, oh my gosh, the funeral leave, what's it called? Sorry. That resolution.
That's a good point. And everybody can let me know if you, I guess I got into the habit early on of forwarding the responses to the sponsors and co-sponsors involved, with the intent being that since it's their work, they could or would share it, but I probably should just send them. There was a response, and I should just forward them on to everyone, because there's no, everybody votes on these things. So I apologize. What I can do, Brian, do you want, since it's you're the sponsor and it's your work, do you want to talk about the response? And then what I'll do after this is, for all the recent resolutions and responses, unless anybody objects, I'll forward it on to the entire body, because what I was doing before makes no sense. So,
are you talking about the bereavement policy?
Bereavement policy, yes.
Sorry, that's what I meant.
I'm sorry. I did. I recognized it with the committee, BBC. But so they have Mary and President Pollack talk, and they are including the surrogate part of that resolution, meaning that they agree and they think that that's worth looking into. They also looked into peer institutions regarding the 5 days and the 100-mile radius, and they found that we were in line with a lot of them. And so at this time, and then they also stipulated, because of the financial impact, at this time they weren't inclined to agree with that right now. But getting the surrogate was really what original goal was. So that was really, it made us all happy. And so that's how they answered that.
And it's a really great example of, I think I said this in my, when I forwarded on to Brian and everybody, it's such a great example of how shared governance and how what we do actually works and can change policy. I mean, this was a big win. So again, I want to publicly thank you and your committee, Brian, for that work, because, you know, that all the right steps, the research, you know, the interactions with HR, and then the result were all just perfectly executed, and we got a great result. So thank you.
On that same subject, we did get, or at least I saw, a response came in for the inclement weather resolution. And I just wondered if anybody had any thoughts on it, because it was sort of like, it was a response, but I don't know what to take from it exactly. As far as, you know, we had asked for those responsible departments to report back to the EA in the fall, and sort of like conduct a review. The response from President Pollack indicated that they've already done a careful review of the storm and the response, but didn't indicate that anyone would present it. So I was just wondering how we should follow up at this point.
Questions, comments? I don't necessarily have a comment on a great plan of action. I mean, at least our voice was heard on that, but I agree. It would be nice if we could get something more definitive. Does anybody have any ideas or ideas for following up, maybe in not the next term, this term, because we're in a new term? If not, it can be another TBD point of discussion for the committee. Carrie, you can bring up, or I agree with you. It's a tough call, because we got a response, but it, like you said.
for anybody that didn't see it, it says, thank you for sharing EA Resolution 9, yada, yada. Executive Vice President and CFO Joanne DeStefano and Vice President for Facilities and Campus Services Rick Burgess have done a careful review of that storm and our response to it. We agree that it is best to avoid late notice to our community when inclement weather occurs, and we strive to provide timely information and notice. We also agree that did not happen in early February, and we are committed to continuing to refine our efforts. So I think, you know, I view it as a positive response. But I guess I'm suggesting that maybe we reach out to those offices and, you know, extend the dialogue, invite them to a meeting, something like that. I don't know.
Does anybody, I guess, my only thought on that is that's a good idea. Maybe when we get, I almost feel like this issue always works, is always more on people's minds when we get into that weather season too. So maybe if we get in further into the fall, past the reopening issues right now, that would be a good time to take it out and say, hey, remember when we passed this, could we just follow up? You know, when the weather's cold, when these things are happening, people tend to refocus on them more. I was worried about us getting into the summer and you know, that, but you're right. It's a good response, but it deserves follow-up. So that would be my only suggestion for whomever takes that on, is maybe after the fall reopening and we see how things go, we do it during the cold season a little bit. But good point, Carrie.
I think that's a good suggestion to wait. So the reopening is early September. So sort of like let the dust settle. That maybe. Okay. We'll plan on that.
Anyone else on any topic? I will either today or early tomorrow I'll get those responses sent around just so you can all see them. Brian, go ahead.
So I'm just thinking about the EA, the one resolution, and the response we get. Either way, we may want to do another resolution after we hear that response. We talked about that a little bit when we were drawing up that resolution about some people in favor of having choices and other things that might come out of that if they agree to do those things. So I would suggest that maybe we should have somebody or maybe schedule a time when we can come up with some other stuff in response to what the decision of the trustees would be.
Thanks, Brian. Anyone else? If not, again, I just want to say thank you all for working so hard over the summer. You know, all of this on top of the craziness of everything else that's going on. You know, we're going to have more activity as the summer progresses. If you can promote those forums, it would be great. And of course, I'm available anytime. But with that, I will entertain a motion to adjourn unless anybody else has any topic that they want to discuss. Got to have a motion, though.
I'm open.
Wait, I just wanted to remind everybody tomorrow, please join the staff, and promote tomorrow's staff conversation around returning to campus, and that was it.
Great.
Yeah.
What time is that?
12:15.
All right. I might not make it because I'm on vacation, but I'll try.
And don't forget, they'll all be the recordings will be posted and everything like that, so you can always see them. With that, do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move.
Motion from Ellen, seconded by Brian. All right. Thank you all. Enjoy the rest of your day, week, and we'll maybe see you at the forum tomorrow, digitally. Bye-bye.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.